Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
And welcome to the Lord's house for this festival day of worship where we're going to focus in on the main thing, He is risen. Order of service is found in your worship folder or on screen. Let's begin with our opening hymn, 157.
Thank you.
of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord's right hand was majestic in power. The Lord's right hand shattered the enemy. In the greatness of his majesty, he threw down those who opposed him.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth.
Worthy is the man.
The Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Lord, we confess to you our sinful condition and our sinful behavior.
Have mercy on us,
Father in heaven.
Bless us and keep us.
Lord, we realize that we have earned both your temporal and eternal punishment. Lord, we are not able to make up for any of our sins, nor can we set ourselves free from the guilt of our sin.
Have mercy on us, Holy Spirit.
Turn your face toward us and give us peace. Jesus was delivered over to death because of our sin, and he was raised to life because God had declared us righteous. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. In love you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, into death for us and raised him to life again. So raise us from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. First lesson we have today is from Isaiah chapter 25. Think of Easter as something so solid and permanent. It's compared to a mountain here. And it's like a feast that doesn't end for the people of God. Something incredible. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will surely say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Isn't it good to have the choir back? Second lesson today explains why we want to sing our Alleluias to the Lord. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And now look at all that's going to come to God's people in time because of Christ's work. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But to each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of our Lord. The gospel is the power of Christ, and to hear it today, let us stand. The sermon is based on these words from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we confess our faith with the posted words. We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time, from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his humanity. And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons but one. One, indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person. For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. This is the true Christian faith. Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved. Please be seated for the hymn. In the name of Jesus who conquered death. That's pretty incredible. Brothers and sisters in him. Since you dressed up for today and see that this is a pretty important day, I think it's worthwhile to start the sermon with a pretty bold statement. This is the most important day in the history of the world. This. Not this April day in 2021. What happened today in history is the most important event of any of the other days in the history of the world. The fall into sin is not the most important day when Adam and Eve sinned. Though that impacted the rest of the world till this day, and you and I see that impact every single day. The flood and all that happened to wipe out people is not the most important thing that happened in the history of the world, even though 8 people lived from that, because those 8 people still died. The most significant event in the history of the world is this one, whether people realize it or not. In fact, all 66 books of the Bible, they focus in on this significant event. This is the pivotal event. In fact, when you look at the Bible, it says God arranged everything in the Old Testament, all of the nations, all of the people that existed, he made it happen that way to make sure this event happened, that he is risen, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, that a man who is fully dead and fully put to death in the most horrific of ways, on this day in history, became fully alive so that he would never, ever die again. That is extremely significant. And it happened by the prediction and promise and power of the Almighty God. I guess I'd like to know, where's the news media on this? Because if this is the most significant, important event, this ought to be blasted to the whole world, not just once a year. Where are the scholars and the scientists and the things that they're studying? Why are they not looking at this? Because no human being who's ever existed has ever been able to replicate or repeat this. Where are the masses of people? There's still few pew seats open. And we could have set more chairs up in the back. Where are the masses of people to come hear this message? Somebody in the history of the world rose from the dead, did it, and predicted they were going to do it throughout their entire life, and promises by his teaching that whoever listens to this and takes this to heart will have this happen to them. It's a limited time offer, and for an all-time low time price of free. For you. That makes today a day the Word of God needs to be listened to very, very carefully. And you need to listen carefully so that you take this to heart. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That makes all the difference. Mark describes this in chapter 16, where we read, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body." These events happened in a context of Judaism over in Jerusalem, in Israel. And you need to understand in basic the Sabbath day. Days don't work like they do for us. Yes, they were the same 24-hour days. We start our day at midnight and it ends at midnight. But for them, in that context, the day began at 6 p.m., the Sabbath, on Friday evening. That's when their day begins, 6 p.m., and it goes 24 hours until Saturday evening, 6 p.m. That's the Sabbath day. And on that day, it was commanded in the Old Testament, do no work. And they added extra laws that made sure people wouldn't lift baggage, they wouldn't do work, they wouldn't advance work, they were supposed to rest. So intense were those laws that they added that even the number of footsteps they could take on that Sabbath day were specifically limited to ensure that you would do no work. So these women understood that they could do no work. They had to rest on the Sabbath. But when 6 p.m. Saturday evening came, those women went to work. They understood how things worked. And back in that day, they wanted to honor Jesus' body in the traditional way that people did back then. Now, if you think back to what happened, the events of the crucifixion happened very hastily. And so men came and took the body. They were not able to do for the body what they wanted to do. They had to quickly get him in the tomb because the Sabbath was starting at 6 p.m. Jesus died about 3 p.m. That doesn't give you much time. And so John 19 tells us that the men who took Jesus down from the cross, they hastily were only able to wrap Jesus' body with 75 pounds of spices. That's it. I think they usually used a couple hundred pounds. Hundreds and hundreds of pounds of spices they usually used. And so the women, dedicated as they were, they wanted to do it right. That's a gift women typically have, which is why we have them do this too and set up for communion. They do it so well. They want to honor the Lord. These women, the same thing. They wanted to do it right. 75 pounds is not good enough. So they go to work. They have limited daylight Saturday night after 6 p.m. They go invest their own money into buying hundreds of pounds of spices, fill their bags. They come home because it's not safe to go out on that Saturday night when it's so dark out anymore. So they bide their time. They get up really, really early on Easter morning. And why would they get up so early to do this? Well, you have to understand the horrific things that happened to Jesus. I want you to look at the heart these women truly had, because after a few days from a death like that, if you think about the smell, if you think about the sight of what those women would have dealt with a body like that a couple days later, ooh. These women truly loved their teacher, and they truly wanted to honor their Lord. So they get everything set. They set out early on that Sunday morning, because time is of the essence. And of course, then they have the problem of the door. They're not quite sure what to do. What I love about the Bible with this section from Mark 16 is it gives you all the nitty-gritty details. It doesn't hold things back. It tells you what was going on in the minds of these women. Do you see what they had in mind? Death. They expected death. They were planning for death. They bought all these spices with their own hard-earned money, in a manner of speaking, to deal with death. I call that baggage. And today, Easter deals with that. And I'd like to talk to you directly. What did you bring today? What kind of baggage did you come with? Because we've all been dealing with it for at least the last year. Do you know somebody who's died within the last year? Are you somebody who has more articulately and carefully thought about your own death? We've got a few people in our congregation who are close to going to heaven as well. Do you understand what's going to happen when you die? Are you afraid of that event happening? Are you afraid of meeting your Lord face to face because of sin? We've all got that kind of baggage. Do you understand what he's going to say and do for you when you meet the Lord? Did you come here in a traditional kind of way, like those women, where, yeah, you expected to hear some nice music and some nice words, but you're going to go right back to the same kind of life and living, that nothing's going to change? Did you come and expect to go today still buying and investing in those spicy worldly ideas of all the things that they have to deal with death? And they're just coping mechanisms. You know, it's just like taking spices and packing them around a body. They're making death smell nicer, but it still doesn't deal with death. We've all got baggage of fears and other things that we're concerned about. And just like the angel dealt with them with the women, we need to have those dealt with today too. The angel said, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Guess what you never hear about after this? You never hear about the spices. You never hear what they did with them. I don't know. Did they leave them right there at the tomb? Did they kind of chuck them and toss them as they left the tomb? In the last verse that we're going to look at in a little bit, one of the verbs that's used is they fled. When I think of fleeing, I think of running with haste. How do you run with hundreds of pounds of spices, even 50 to 75 pounds? You're not going to flee very well if you're carrying all that stuff. My opinion is they chucked them. They abandoned them. They left the baggage. All that money invested in that for nothing. I'd like you today to do the same. No matter what you've brought, no matter what kind of baggage you've come with, please, you can't leave here without hope. You can't leave here from hearing the word of God unchanged, to go back to the regular humdrum of daily living, that nothing is different. This changes everything. Jesus the Nazarene, the human being who grew up under Mary and Joseph, the one who's from Nazareth, the one who did this preaching and teaching ministry, that well-known one throughout the whole area, who was crucified, the one who went to the cross, those are his credentials. That's what happened. He didn't deserve it. He was innocent of all of those accusations. He was innocent of being convicted of that stuff. But he went. He went to pay for sin. He went to deal with the baggage every single human being has. He went there so that he could die. That was the whole point. That's why God arranged for this to happen. And he did it. That one you expected here to be dead in this tomb, he's not here. He is risen. He woke up from this, and he's never going to die again. The one that you and I believe in, Jesus Christ from Nazareth, who suffered and died, this is the one who not only forgives your sin, but this is the one who gives you life after death. Because clearly today he's got the power to do that. Easter, then, is not just something that's about Jesus. The implications of Easter are that if it happens to him, those who trust in him, Easter is going to happen to you. And the message from the angels is, you got to see that for yourself. Women, you got to look at this. Men and women today, you've got to see this with your own eyes. So look through the eyes of the women. See what they saw that hasty morning. I want you to look and see that angel who surprised them. An angel is a representative of God, who stands at the side of God in a manner of speaking, who is holy just like God is holy, who proclaims the message. Which means God Almighty wants you to hear that message. He's not here, he is risen. Now, there are some other religions in the world where an angel supposedly appears to one person and they have this incredible revelation and they have their own make-believe religion. This is three women. Three women, not one. And there were a number of instances where angels as well as Jesus himself appeared. This didn't happen in a corner. Look for yourself and see the place where they laid him, that he's not there. You know what? I got to do that very thing about a year ago when I went to Israel, went to Jerusalem, and there's a place very, very likely where Jesus was crucified, Golgotha, the place of the skull. It's not that skulls were on the ground, but if you look in the rock formation, right next to it, the rock formation, it looks like a skull right in the rock, and it's still there today. It's incredible. Likely Jesus was crucified there. And we know from the Bible that the tomb where he was placed was very close to the place he was crucified. And you know what? There's actually a tomb right there, very close by. And they let us as tourists go into this tomb. And it's just incredible to look at that place. Now, I don't know, was that the actual tomb of Jesus? It very likely could have been. It may not have been, and you'll notice I'm using slippery terms. Maybe, could have, might have. But what the Word of God presents to you today is not maybe, could have, might have. This is certain. From God Himself, He has risen. Jesus has risen. You need to look and see that. Believe that message. And as much as the angel took it a step further and said, you're going to see him again in Galilee, and they did, you're going to see him one day with your own eyes too. God predicts it. God promises it. And by the same almighty power he used on Easter morning, he will do for you too. What it meant for the women was this. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That to me is excitement. The word trembling in Greek is kind of like a quaking, a tremor, just like what's in the ground. And so it's like a tremor went right through their whole body. They shook. And the term bewildered in Greek means our English word ecstasy, ecstatic. You can imagine you're dealing with all ends of the emotional spectrum. They're shaking, and at the exact same time, they are ecstatic. And then, of course, the last verb that's used is they fled fearing. And so it's a mixture of wild emotions from beginning to end. These women are wound up. I call that excited. And they run from that. And it says they talk to no one. Well, in this state, in the emotional state, excited state they were in, they needed to calm down a little bit, and they did. And they eventually went and talked to Peter and the rest of the disciples, and they said the message, and they also heard from the rest of them what the disciples had seen too. I hope you leave with excitement today. Christ is risen. You have hope by the power of God testified in the Bible itself. What happened to Jesus is for you. The rest of the world needs to hear that too. Take this message in excitement. Tell your loved ones. Encourage them in it. The rest of the world needs to hear this too. There's not a whole lot of good news going on in the world today. Tell people what Jesus is all about and what he means. It's not just the door of a tomb has been opened. It's that the door to heaven through faith in Jesus is open to all. Drop your baggage. Look for yourself and see by the power and promise of God. And then leave with excitement. This is the greatest day in the history of the world. He's risen. Jesus has risen from the dead. Amen. Please stand. We join together in the hymn.
Thank you.
Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Thanks be to God. In your compassion, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to rescue the lost. Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives to make intercession for the saints and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people standing before your throne and singing the song of victory. Make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures.
Risen Lord, live in us that we may live for you.
Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence and comfort them with the hope of eternal life. We pray for Janet Bitter, who was hospitalized this past Thursday. She hopes to return to her home today, so Lord, please grant her health. Give her strength, and especially in light of today, the most important day, give her Easter joy that death has been conquered through you. Hear us, Lord, as we now bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say, Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And as always, special welcome. Guests and visitors, we love having you come join with us in worshiping the Lord Jesus, the triune God. Come worship with us again as you have opportunity. We'd love to have you. As far as announcements for today, just want to say thank you to the instrumentalist. Thank you, Luther. He slipped out. He's in the back, but incredible solo to the choir. Love having the choir back proclaiming God's praise. Eileen Perrone, I think, set these all up. And for those of you who purchased flowers, thank you for providing beauty and the smell of victory to the house of the Lord on Easter morning. A message from Eileen about these flowers. If you have purchased them, if you're around after the 11 o'clock service, you could take them. Or she will be around tomorrow if you know how to contact her. She's going to have the doors open tomorrow. If you want to come tomorrow and pick these up, you can certainly do so. As far as other announcements for the day, I don't have any. This week we have a lighter week for ministry here at St. Paul's. Things really kick back in a week from today, so a week from today Bible studies and that, and even weekly ones, but a little bit lighter this week. Any announcements then from you for today or for the week ahead? Somebody didn't know this morning, so I will just repeat it, that Mr. Marone did return his call to Green Bay. So just wanted those who weren't aware of that, so he and Ann and family are staying put. So that is exciting. Not seeing any other announcements, greet one another in the Lord, and may the Lord bless your day and week ahead with a wonderful, blessed Easter. Take care, everyone.